go to the book of the Psalms. We're going to go to the book of the Psalms. So if you will, look there with us in Psalm number 77. Psalm number 77. And you'll see the, let's see if I can get myself on here. You'll see the idea of a psalm that, you know, talks about, I guess, like we have in time past, a lot of them, that is just everyday life. I mean, there are just some things that go on in life, and we face them. But what I want you to look with me, or how I want you to look with me this morning at this, is something, you know, just thinking about this new year. And last week we talked about, you know, some ways to pray and some things to pray about. We looked in the writings of Paul. Today we're going to look at a psalm. Psalm number 77 is a psalm, it says, a psalm of Asaph. A psalm of Asaph. This is not David. This is not Moses. This is another writer of the Psalms, but he seems to be a man that's really plugged into God and got his heart and his life where it ought to be with the Lord. And, you know, but he's just much like us. I mean, we'll see as we read it. There's just 20 verses to it, and we'll look at all of them, Lord willing. But I want you to look at it this morning. We're going to think about this. As I said before, we talked about our prayer time, our prayer life, getting started in this new year, and that's a good place to start, is to get your mind and your thoughts on praying. But today I want us to look at our testimony. Our testimony. Everybody that's saved needs to find the importance and realize the importance of your own personal testimony. You're to have a testimony for what God has done for you and who He is. And if we're going to look at it, you'll see that sometimes we fit into some of these categories that we'll look at and some of the ways that we do testify. But I'll just tell you now, some of them are not just the greatest kind of testimonies to have or to bear. So let's look at it, if you will. Psalm number 77. Notice with me. In verse number 1, the psalmist Asaph said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Look at that right there in verse number 3. Then he said, Thou beholdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient time. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Notice again, the writer says, Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I'll meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, and they were afraid, and the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path is in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock, by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you again for your blessings. And thank you again for this time to be together with our brothers and sisters. And, Lord, thank you for those that are watching. I pray that we all might just realize the blessedness of knowing you and what you've done for us. And then, Lord, that we would just turn that into a testimony in our lives. I pray you get honor and glory out of what's said today. Then you get honor and glory out of our lives. Save that one that's lost. Draw us closer. Make us more like you and help us to rejoice in you. And we'll thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this and let's talk about a victorious testimony. A victorious testimony. Now, as you read this and you go through the progression of it with me, I hope that you can see as this thing is split up that if you'll notice at the end of like verse number 3, verse number 9, verse number 15, you see that little word S-E-L-A-H, Selah, which means really it's the thought that it is a musical term that means to stop and pause and take a rest. I mean, that's the idea. You know, in music, you do that as you're singing. There's some songs you sing, and then there's a resting time, and there's maybe a little bit of music in between, but then you pick up singing again. It's sort of a musical term, a musical thought, and it means just, well, basically, this is the way I want you to think. Take a breath. Just take a breath for a minute and let's pause and consider some things. And I believe that's probably why it's written in a lot of these songs that are written, and you see that word thrown in there. It means just stop for a minute and think about what's either been said or the idea or the thought or the meaning behind it. Just take a breath. You know, just hold on a second. Let's look at it. And I think it really fits into the idea of what we're going to talk about this morning as it breaks up the psalm. It just kind of breaks it up into some pieces, and there's some things for me and you to look at. First of all, I want you to look at this. I believe when you see the writer writing, you see in verse number 3, he says this, I remember the Lord and was troubled. He said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And then he uses that little phrase and says, just take a break here for a minute and take a breath. All right, I want to tell you this. Sometimes in our lives, there are times, and we all know this, when we are overwhelmed in our own inward spirit. Now, you notice that's just a little S. That's not a big S. That's not the Holy Spirit. It is our spirit. And you got a spirit, and I got a spirit. Everybody, there, you got a spirit of some sort. I'm not saying you got the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you do. But otherwise, you've got a spirit. And the writer here says, there's some things going on, and I get overwhelmed in my soul, in my spirit. I do. And sometimes you do. And all of us do. We get overwhelmed with the things that are going on. Now, I want you to notice what he says here. If you'll look at it as he goes through these first few verses, notice, first of all, he said, I cried unto the Lord. And then notice what he says in verse number 2, I sought the Lord. And in verse number 3, he said, I remembered the Lord. And he says, you know, there's some things when I get into this, all of these things going on, and it just overwhelms me with all that's going on in my life. And if you'll notice, and you'll see mainly right here, you understand that he's got a case of looking at himself and what's going on with him at this time. It's a case, as I say, of being overwhelmed in his spirit. I mean, you see that this is the stuff that comes and goes in our lives day in and day out. And surely every one of you in this room understand that you can get overwhelmed by what's going on in your day-to-day life, right? Day to day, some things can overwhelm you. I mean, you can get up and, you know, start out in a pretty good mood and a pretty good day, and then all of a sudden something happens. A phone call comes, or an incident happens to you just physically at a time, or something in your family, or something in your finances, or something at your job, or wherever it is. Something happens. And in the day to day stuff, if you're not really careful, you can get overwhelmed. And do you see what kind of testimony that has left here Asaph with as he begins? He says, I cried to the Lord my voice. even unto God from above. And he gave ear to me. In the day of trouble I sought the Lord. He said, my soul ran in the night. He said, it's almost like there's something going on with me physically. It's like a sore spot, and it just is running and oozing and putting out, and I'm hurting. I've got problems. He said, and it just ceased not, and my soul could not be comforted. It just wouldn't be comforted. There's no way I could get any comfort. And he said, look, I remembered God, but I was troubled. I complained, he said, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Amen? And I'll tell you this. You look at it and you see that even in this situation, he remembers God. He's cried out to God. He's trying to look to God, but something ain't working for him. Now, what kind of testimony is that? Can I tell you, it ain't a real good testimony, is it? It's not a real good testimony. And you know, sometimes we'll get up in church and say, well, preacher, everything's so horrible and bad and blah, 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 and the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that. Well, I mean, I got it. We're there like he, and that's the kind of testimony that he is giving at this time. He said, let me tell you about my day-to-day life and the things that are going on. And as I tell you that, let me just also tell you, when those things happen, I get overwhelmed in my spirit on the inside of me. And let me just tell you again, that ain't a good testimony to have. I mean, really, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying sometimes we do all get there. We do all complain. We do all say, boy, it's bad and it's, you know, getting worse. And have you prayed about it? Well, yeah, but God ain't listening to me. God ain't doing it. I mean, I've tried. I've looked to him. I've cried to him. He says every one of those things that me and you say in our hearts and our lives many times. I cried unto the Lord my voice. He said, even unto God. And listen, he gave ear unto me. He said, I believe he heard me. But he didn't do too much bragging on what God done right then, did he? He said, well, I mean, I've got stuff going on. And really, when you look at it, well, this is me. This is about me. In the day of trouble, I sought the Lord. And my sore spot got all rubbed and hurt. And it ceased not. He said, my soul would not be comforted. And I remembered God. I was thinking about God. I was trying to get, but I was troubled. And he said, I complained and my spirit got overwhelmed. So what does he do? Let me tell you, sometimes when you get there, the best thing you can do is what he suggests right here. Take a deep breath and think on what's going on right now. Just take a deep breath and say, wait a minute. There's something, I'm overwhelmed. What can I do? You know what most of us do? We just worry some more. We just add some more fuel to that fire. We just keep that thing stirred up and boiling and worried at all. And we make it worse. We make it bigger. We make it badder. We make it more. We add trouble to trouble. Man, we're just in trouble all over. But you know what you need to do sometimes? Just stop for a minute. Take a deep breath. At times like that, when you're overwhelmed in your own personal spirit, stop and take a breath. Because your testimony ain't going to be too good at that time. If you keep on going in the direction you're going in, your testimony will not be a good testimony to this world. Your testimony, you might have one, but it won't be. And every one of us, I've heard people get up in church and they say, oh, preacher, let me tell you how bad it is. Wow, I didn't need that. I know how bad it is. It's been bad over at my house too. But somebody get up and tell you, it's bad. Amen. I know that. But can I tell you, we're going to get to there in just a few minutes to where things change up. But let me just tell you, sometimes that kind of testimony, it just doesn't do anything. It might overwhelm my, if you're already overwhelmed in your spirit, it might overwhelm my spirit to hear that kind of thing. Now, I know we all need to talk with each other and kind of help each other and understand situations. I know that I'm not saying that you can't tell somebody I'm having a bad day or whatever, but I'm talking about, hey, sometimes there's a place, it sounds like we're bragging on the devil. It sounds like we're bragging on the downward side. It sounds like we're bragging on what's going on in a negative way in our lives. Amen? And that's, again, I don't, I don't think that's a good kind of testimony for us to have. Let's look at a second thing. He took a deep breath here, but look what he says in verse number four. He said, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak." Can you see that he ain't got too good yet? Things ain't happened too much better, has it? He said, "I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made a diligent search." Boy, I began to think as I read that, I thought, boy, he's on the right track now. But look where he's at now. Look what he says in verse number 7. "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" And again, you know what it's time to do? Stop for a minute and take a breath. Now, first of all, you know, we saw that here he is. He's overwhelmed in his own spirit. I mean, there's an overwhelming thing going over here, and he's been looking at his trouble. Well, then he begins to commune on his own bed, begin to, you know, get it inward. Maybe he's not talking now, but he's thinking about it, okay? He's thinking about it. He's got it in the framework of his own mind, his own thinking, and he's trying to figure out what to do about it. And can I tell you what that'll lead to a lot of times if we're not careful, and it does here for this writer, it leads to us being overwrought in our minds. I mean, sometimes you just need to take a deep breath and get away from your own thoughts. You know, sometimes you need to just get rid. I remember a long time ago read something by Zig Ziglar, and he said, y'all need to get away from that stinking thinking. Amen. Hey, some of us has got some stinking thinking. When you get stinking thinking, you can't get nothing going on right. But do you see what the psalmist says here? He says, well, you know, he'd cried. He'd given a voice, and he was overwhelmed in his spirit. So you know what he says? He said, well, I sat down, and I'm just in trouble. I can't even talk about it no more. Verse number 4. Verse number 5, he said, I begin to think about the days of old and the things that happened in the days gone by. And I called to remembrance my song in the night. I had a song in the night. He said, but I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made a diligent search. And he said, let me tell you, here's what I began to think. Has God quit on me? I mean, you see what he says? Will the Lord cast off forever? Has God cast me aside, and he's not going to do anything for me or in my life forever? Look what he says. Will he be favorable no more? Have I lost the favor of God? Let me tell you, everybody in this room, you've been there. You thought, boy, what's going on with me? What, has God got his hand off me? Has God just said, forget it, boy, I'm letting you do it yourself? Has God just gotten me away from his favor? You've been there, you thought that. Is God just not with me anymore? Is God turned against me? Listen to what he said. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Has God quit having mercy on anybody and anything that goes on in their life? It seems like I cannot see the grace nor the mercy of God in my life at any time. You can get there, friend. You can get there. I mean, it goes up here. And you get it to going up here, and it will begin to grow. It will begin to expand. It'll get worse. He said, boy, have I lost the favor of God? Has God cast me off forever? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Listen, do his promises fail forevermore? Has God ain't even going to do what he said he'd do anymore. His promises have failed. I thought I was doing right, thought I was doing good, and this little bump came, and these things are in my life, and now it seems like the promises of God, he just forgot all about that in my life. Listen to what he says on here a little bit further in verse number 9. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? You know what you need to do when you get to thinking like that? Stop. Stop and take that deep breath. because you will get to talking to yourself in your own little head, and you'll make it worse than it is. Oh, I've seen it. And you have, as I say, every one of us, I think, in this house have seen it. When you get to thinking, and buddy, let me tell you something. That's the testimony that's going on the inside of you. You know what that said? God's forgot all about me. Well, what a great testimony that is. God has just quit being gracious. He's quit being merciful. He's just give up. I'm just going to fall. His promises I can't trust. I mean, there's nothing that's going to wind up good out of this whole mess. And your testimony on the inside of you is beginning to get you, overwhelmed in the spirit, first of all, he said. But now I'm overwrought in my thinking, in my mind. My mind has got to thinking some things, and I've convinced myself, boy, this thing has gotten from bad to worse, and it ain't never going to get any better. You see how he uses those little words there in those questions? And if you look, there are probably two questions in each one of those verses. So there's like six things that the writer says. Will the Lord cast off forever? Has God cast me away from himself forever? He said, will he be favorable no more? Not ever anymore will he show me favor? Is his mercy, the mercy of God, has it gone away forever? You ever think that sometimes? God, why is all of this stuff happening in this world? Have you forgotten to have grace and mercy on people? I mean, there's little kids out here being abused. God, where's your grace and your mercy for them? There's people over here committing evil, wicked, hateful acts, and it seems like that they're getting by with it. God, where is your mercy? Where is your sense of justice? Can't you take care? You get to thinking those things sometimes, and you'll edge God plumb out of everything. And you'll think that he's saying forever. If you just quit, God, if you quit, does your promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Can I tell you, friend, there's never a day when God has forgotten to be gracious. But the psalmist here says it just seems like it. That's the way it is in my mind and in my thinking. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercy? I can remember when God's mercies were tender and sweet and tasted good. And now I don't even know if they even exist anymore. Has God forgotten every bit of that stuff? And as I said, your mind is a powerful thing, friend. If the devil can get you to thinking one way. Do you know why that's the Bible tells you over in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, Paul says, you know, present your bodies a living sacrifice. But then in that second verse, he says that we are to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. That's why Paul said in that long string of things he says in the book of Philippians chapter number 4, he said, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, if there be anything of good report, and it goes on, he said, think on these things. Get your mind thinking in the right way. You know what that'll do? That'll give you a different kind of testimony on the outside and on the inside. Because if you can talk to yourself on the inside and say, look, devil, get out of my head. I'm trusting God. Amen. I know you're telling me all this. I know you're in there trying to convince. I know you're trying to change my mind. But I know who I'm hanging on to. Amen. I mean, that's the way he's going. And that's the way he's riding. I mean, and look, you know, isn't that amazing? Now, this is the same guy that has written one of the other psalms that says, you know, I went down to the house of God and things there changed my thinking. He said, I looked out and he said, all I saw was all these wicked people. I saw all these that were doing crazy stuff and is getting by with it and nothing ever going wrong in their life. Look, where is it? In Psalm 73, if you'll flip back a couple of pages in your Bible, Psalm 73. Listen, this is the same guy. This is the Psalm of Asaph, 73. He said, truly God is good to Israel, even to them that are of such of a clean heart. He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He said, for I was envious of the foolish When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, there's no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They're not troubled as other men or like I am, maybe. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. They're corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. They set their mouths against the heavens and their tongues walk through the earth. And boy, he said, can you believe that? And I'm tore up over all of that. Some of y'all tore up over that today? You watch them on TV and you see all these lying politicians and this bunch of hypocrites out here, a bunch of devils and a bunch of just halfway trying to do. And brother, you just get all tore up over how good things are going for them. But look what he said. He said, look, if I was to ever say anything, look down in verse number 14. For all the day long have I been plagued, chastened every morning. If I say I will speak, thus behold, I shall offend the generation of thy children. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I thought on all this, but look at the next verse, verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. And look what he says in verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. I was just like a dumb old animal before thee. I didn't understand. But he said, nevertheless, I'm continually with thee, and thou hast holden me by my right hand. I know where I am. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. And he knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. Amen. He knows where we are. He knows what's going on. So he says, wait a minute, let's take a deep breath and see what happens now. Take another breath and let's see what happens. That testimony outwardly, it's overwhelmed by in my spirit and it don't look good. That testimony that has just overwrought me mentally and I'm broke down on the inside and it don't look good. But look what he says there, if you will, in verse number 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. He said, wait a minute. This is what it's my doings. This is what I think. This is what I'm saying. This is what's coming out of me. This ain't got nothing to do with God. Because God's still who he said he was and who he'll always be. Amen? Oh, he said, I've messed up. This is my problem. This is my infirmity. This is my weakness. This is my sickness. This is my trouble. This is my thinking. This is my way. That's what he's saying. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I'll meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. And who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And he said, now let me take a breath. Woo! That's where that breath right there will get you to. Woo! That's where that'll get you to. Amen. You'll have to take a breath because you're about to shout. Amen. I mean, that's where that's going to get you. What do you say? I'm saying here in his testimony and the testimony that turns in the right direction, he said, I am overwhelmed by the goodness and the graciousness of who God is. Of who my God is. I mean, look, he said, let me just take a little break here and just shout and enjoy the triumph that I have in my God. Let me just take a breath here and say, woo, hallelujah unto God. Amen. He says, look, you know what did the job for him there? If you want to change your testimony, first of all, let me tell you this. You'll see that he changed his thinking. Look in verse number 11. He said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Hey, I've been thinking about all my troubles. I've been thinking in my head that it seemed like God's quit and God's left and God's give up and God's resigned and God's not blessing anymore. And God, he said, that's some wrong thinking. You better change your thinking.
Amen.
Amen? Boy, can I tell you, when your thinking's wrong, your testimony ain't too good. But he said, let me see if I can change my thing. He said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if you look at it, before, what was he looking at? He was like, I, me. And then he comes down and he said, well, matter of fact, this is my infirmity. This is all on me because this is what I'm thinking. This is all. And you know what you got to do? You got to change your thinking.
Right.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Paul said. I mean, you've got to get your thought life whooped into the right condition. I mean, you've got to get rid of some of that stuff in there. You know what you ought to do? Quit getting down into the ways and the things and glorifying what the devil's done and what he does. Hey, and just start saying, God, you know what? I'm going to praise you for a while. I'm going to change my thinking. My thinking's going to get changed. You change your thinking, your testimony will turn out a lot different than it was. You'll quit saying all this I done this and this is all on me. You know, all and woe is me. Amen? Boy, you remember what happened to Isaiah? He was in the throne room of God and he saw all the great stuff. And he looked up and he said, woe is me. It's me. God sent down an angel, touched his lips, cleaned, and God said, now, I've cleaned you up, son. What's coming out of that mouth now? Is there any woe? Is me? He said, nope, I'm ready to go. What do you want me to do? Amen. Thank God. I'm just telling you. That's what he's saying. Look, he has changed his thinking. But not only that, he's changed his talking. He's changed his talking. Look there in verse number 11 again. He said, I remember the works of the Lord. He said, surely I remember, look, thy wonders of old. He said, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy good. He starts, instead of talking about God and talking about himself and being the center of the universe, all of a sudden he's talking to God. You're going to have to get your thinking straight, and then you're going to have to get your talking straight. You start talking to him. Oh, there's a lot of folks who want to talk about him. You start talking to him, and it'll do some wonders in your life.
Amen.
He said, I'm going to meditate on your work, God, and I'm going to talk of all your doings. He said, that way, oh God, is in the sanctuary. Amen? Oh, he said, this is the same Apophis that said, I was just all tore up until I went down to sanctuary of God. And then my whole thought, my whole life got changed when I realized, woo, he's still there. Amen. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. He's still got his hand in the affairs of mankind. Hey, this is God's doing and not mine and not yours. Amen. It'll change your testimony. He started talking to God. As I say, no longer talking about himself. No longer talking, I'm so bad off and I'm so low and I'm so pitiful and I'm so... Yeah, we are, amen, every one of us. But then he said, I want to talk about God. He said, thou art the God, in verse number 14, that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Amen. Can I tell you, he got to thinking different, got to talking different. You know what that led him to doing? It changed his testimony. It changed his testimony. I mean, he got to get out of that sad, woe is me deal and got into the, boy, what a great God I've got. Amen?
Amen.
Can I tell you, David didn't walk down there and tell Goliath, said, Goliath, I'm the big bad boy over here from Israel. No. He said, how dare you defy the army of the living God? He said, God is going to give you into my hand today. Amen? Yeah, God was going to do that. I mean, it didn't have anything to do with David. David said, God's going to take care of this fight. Amen? Do you realize that throughout the Old Testament, there's mention made of that, that it says, hey, that this is not your battle. The battle is the Lord. You just show up and do what he says. God told Joshua, y'all go down there and march around Jericho one time a day for 6 days. And on that seventh day, walk around it seven times, start blowing the horns when I say blow, and watch the walls. Who knocked them down? There's people that, you know, they sing songs. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and he knocked the wall. He didn't knock any walls down. He just did what God said, then God knocked the walls down. Amen? I'm just telling you. Boy, when you realize that it's Him, when you start having a testimony about Him, when there's praise from you to Him, that's what makes the difference. Amen? Hey, that's the way it's supposed to go. That's the way our lives should be. Can I tell you about my Jesus? Amen? Woo, ain't that good? Boy, I mean, we need to hear about Him. Surely, but we sure do need to talk to Him. I mean, we need to be in communication. Amen? Why, you'll never see a bunch of soldiers out on the battlefield and say, well, I sure do hate our commanders back there. Look, they ain't done nothing, and we're out here, we're getting shot at. They pick up that walkie-talkie, and they say, hey, boss, what do we got to do? They say, we're behind you, we're sending in artillery, we're going to fly some planes, we're going to drop some bombs, so y'all get ready, we're here to help you. Amen? That's the same thing God says to me and you. You just got to talk to Him, amen. Talk to Him. You see that, man, I mean, he realizes there is an overcoming because of what God can do and who He is. Now, don't you notice this, really, as I say, you see in verse number 15, there's that last little Selah there in verse 15. But in the continuing verses, Asaph breaks out into a little song. This is really a little, I mean, I know the whole thing is a song, but in verses 16 through 20, he just writes another little song in the song. He writes him a song, and it's a song of how overjoyed I am when my testimony honors and glorifies God. Amen? I mean, it don't sound like a song to me and you, but listen. He said, the waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, and they were afraid. The depths were also troubled. He said, can I sing y'all a song about my God? The waters saw Him. The waters recognized, and they got tore up when they heard that it was God coming through. The depths got in terrors and trouble. They realized that it was God coming through. He said in verse number 17, the clouds poured out water. God's coming by. They said, oh no. And they poured out their water. The sky sent out a sound. I mean, the arrows went abroad, the lightning and the thunderings and the roll. Hey, that happened because God was there. God wanted to do something. It said, the voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Amen. Sometimes you realize that the world and what we call nature has got more sense and more respect of God than the rest of us dummies hanging around do. Amen. Amen. Then he says, the way, thy way, is in the sea, and thy paths in the great water, and thy footsteps are not known. Isn't that amazing? Then notice how he closes. This is one of the strangest psalms that you and I will ever read. It ends in a weird way. I mean, if you look at, you know, you look at some of the others, and they end with, you know, some kind of, something about God being exalted or praise ye the Lord or something like that. Listen to this. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Yeah, what's next? Nothing. The end. Period. I mean, that's just weird. Amen? But you go back and read the book of Jonah. And the book of Jonah ends weird to me. I mean, the book of Jonah comes out and he says, and God says something about the cattle and the you know, so many cattle and so many people that don't know the right hand from the left. And bloop, what next? You don't have to know what's next. God just said, this is it, period. Amen. This kind of ends the same way. It ends in a real unusual way to me. But you know what? He just said, hey, y'all just let me have some glory out of all of this. Because I'm the one that led those children of Israel. I led them through the wilderness, and I brought them to where you are, and you have what you have because I led. Amen. And again, the point is this. You'll see there in that last verse, It wasn't Moses and Aaron that led the children of Israel. It was God that led them by the hands of Moses and Aaron. Amen? What about that? That means God wants to use me and you. Whoever we are, ever how big or ever how small that we are, God wants to use us in his praise and in his worship. And you give the testimony of what he has done. Of what he has done. God did it all. And I think Asaph has kind of learned that truth by here. Thou ledest the people like a flock by the hands of Moses and Aaron. Amen? But aren't you glad for that this morning? Listen, you and I need to have a solid, sure, beaming to this world testimony of who God is and what he's done for us. I mean, it ain't, boy, you sure are a good guy. Ain't nothing good about me. The Lord's going, well, look what y'all have done. I ain't done nothing. Let's just praise God and give him some glory for anything that happens. Anything that's good, just praise him. Amen. Give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. Because you know what you're going to do? You might as well get tuned up down here. One of these days, that's all you're going to be doing. Amen. In heaven.
Amen.
Praise be unto the Lamb. For thou hast redeemed us out of every kindred. Every tongue, every nation. And we just want to cast our crowns. We want to bow down because you're worthy.
Right.
Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of some song of invitation this morning. Hey, how's your testimony? How's your testimony going? I know all of us can be as Asaph was there in the beginning. We could have that overwhelmed spirit. We can have that overwrought thinking and mind. But boy, I like it when we get down to the part where we can overcome because we know who our God is and what he's done.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't that good? Let's stand, if you will. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie? While we sing a verse of this song. Amen. If you need to come pray, you need to come for any reason. Listen, while we're singing, all right, listen.